Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers in our group. We hope that you are having, if not a blessed day with your children, at least a blessed day in your heart, remembering your children when they were young, and all the sweet memories that go along with being surrounded by the delightful energy of children. If you're remembering your fathers who have gone on, then my heart is with you, for mine has also, but I always remember my father in my heart. And it seems as though that's the place Yeshua told us always to go, to find the answers, the sweetness, the love, and the light of our life. And it's in our heart that we find our sweetest memories. And sometimes we have to also deal with the fact that what looks like our heart being broken. And I want to talk about that today. I think that's a very important subject, because it seems that a lot of people I encounter these days seem to just have a broken heart. They're just brokenhearted about either the conditions in the world or someone in their life who's behaved irrationally, or something that just hasn't come about according to expectations. And so they say, my heart is breaking. I've broken my heart. Well, you see, I really don't believe that it is a broken heart. From what Yeshua has taught me, the heart is the center that is so protected by divine providence, by divine light, by your guardian angel, by God the Father, by Yeshua, by the Holy Spirit. It is virtually impenetrable by anything false, anything destructive, anything poisonous, anything disturbing. But what happens is that when events in our life take us off our center, they create a new dark center that seems to replace our heart. It's kind of like if you compared how a star is created as opposed to how a star fails to be created, shall we say. The dark stars or the brown dwarfs that have been identified in the cosmos. Basically, a star is created through increasingly vast and intense densities of hydrogen that eventually ignites, and it will burn as long as the hydrogen supply lasts. And that's really, really the life of the star. But other stars never ignite. They accumulate certain densities of hydrogen, but perhaps other masses and other chemicals and other gases that are inert become part of the mixture. And so when it gets to the point where it should ignite, it doesn't. And instead it implodes, and it becomes a dark, collapsed, imploded mass that still has magnetic force, but it gives off no light. Well, see, I really think that's a really good analogy to what happens in our life. We vest a lot of attention and a lot of energy, a lot of hope, a lot of work, and a lot of expectation in certain things that never ignite. And they become these false centers of our life that still magnetically draw our attention into the failure, into the disruption. And we keep our attention stuck on that, and we fail to find the true center of light within, which did ignite, or you couldn't have been born. And I really want to talk about today what happened that allowed you to be born, and why that event still is the kingdom of heaven, and why that event still does ignite within you the power of the child, who, as William Wordsworth said, is father of the man and the eternal dwelling place of our being. So we want to spend a little bit of time on that, because I feel that just really understanding that is itself a blessing, because this is the place we go in our prayer to fully receive our blessing. Now, this is also a setup for explaining to you why some of our prayers don't seem to work. Actually, God always hears us. But God doesn't really want to answer prayers that you've prayed from a false center, or prayers that you've prayed from your hurt, your pain, and your duress. Because what we pray from will manifest as surely as what we pray for. And so God looks at our prayers, and when we pray from these false centers or these dead areas of our life, these seemingly betrayed areas of our life that we call a broken heart, we pray from these, and God looks with mercy upon us and says, my child, find your heart and pray from there. And that is the secret to praying in order to truly receive all the blessings of God. And hopefully, in conveying these blessings, bit by bit, inch by inch, you will be moved away from these dark stars within you that really never ignited, that you call a broken heart, but they're really not. Your heart is not broken. You're just not finding it. You're not there, and you're not centering your life in it. So we want to talk about ways we can actually find our true heart and be in our true heart, to be in the joy that we are and the love that we are. But since this is Father's Day, and I know that we have some fathers on the call, I would love to give you an opportunity to share what's in your heart today, perhaps to ask for a prayer if you need it, or to send blessings just out to the world. We have a caller now from area code 512, and you're on.
Hi, this is Julie from Austin.
Hi, Julie.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good. Well, I raised my hand earlier before you quite got started, but my request is still the same, and perhaps it will be appropriate based on what you've been speaking about. I'd like to ask or put a request out that when we move into the blessing, that the group support me in praying for rain. And that's because I live in Austin, but the whole southern or part of the United States is in drought, and it's very significant. And I know that when we pray from a point of wholeness and pray from our hearts in Jesus' name, we receive. And so I just like to ask the group, if they will, to support me in praying for rain for the whole southern part of the United States and where else that rain or balance of weather may be needed on the globe.
Indeed. Well, thanks, Julie, for asking us that. And as I'd like to give a little instruction to everyone, when you pray for rain, don't think of drought, okay? Think of being in a lush, beautiful rainforest garden that is abundantly supplied by rain, so that you are praying from all the sweet memories of what it looks like to be in a lush, well irrigated and well drenched, florally, fragrantly rich environment. Okay?
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a caller from area code 720, and you're on.
Hi. This is Marissa. I'm also in Austin, Texas, so I'll second that rain prayer.
Okay. Thanks, Marissa.
I just wanted to just extend so much gratitude for your last few calls about the consciousness of life. For the last few months, I've been involved in a womb-centered moving meditation, which has become my form of prayer and how I connect in to my essence. And it was so beautiful and validating to get a name for that frequency, the consciousness of life. And it's been so complementary with the blessings and creating more and more connection to Mother Earth, and so that I can receive more Father And I just wanted to say thank you so much and happy Father's Day to all the fathers on the line.
Oh, thanks, Marissa. I really appreciate that. And, you know, this what you're bringing up is a huge subject because it actually has been an extremely overlooked subject. Amazing. Life is what we all want. We want a good life. We want a happy life, an abundant life, a healthy life. And it's so central to our consciousness, and yet we don't see it as actually the essence of consciousness, or even do we associate the presence of consciousness with it? We think of it more as an energy, or as something that comes with birth and departs with death. And it really is quite challenging when we lose someone because we feel we've lost our life connection with them. When actually we can transition with them in consciousness when we understand that life is not just an energy. It is a frequency of consciousness. So I'm actually thinking about offering an online seminar dedicated to this subject. Now, that would be sometime probably in, August or September, after we get through the Master Blessing course. But I definitely want to put together the information that Yeshua has given me and the research that I've done. So thanks so much, Marissa. It's really nice to talk with you. And let's see, we have a caller from area code 336, and you're on. Hello? Is there someone there from area code 336? You may actually have your own telephone muted and we can't hear you. If that's the case, you'll have to unmute your own telephone. Okay, well, perhaps you changed your mind. So I will mute you again, and if you want to speak again, just come back on. And look, I think we have another caller or two. Oh, hi, Tom. You're on.
Hi, Glenda.
And how are you today?
I'm doing better today.
Good.
For asking. All I wanted to say today on Father's Day was that I have two wonderful sons that fulfill me in wonderful ways, even the ways that I really don't see it right away. It comes eventually, okay? And when I think of my own father, there are ways that I think, well, he fell short here, he fell short here, he fell short here. But at the same time, I understand that he was playing a very specific role, and he fulfilled, I think, at least the plan that we came up with together, and those, emotionally, those places where I feel I haven't got enough, I go to my Holy Father, and whenever I do that, I am fulfilled, and I know that everything's fine. And I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly, but I've had some health issues lately, and I've had the most wonderful days of my life in the last few weeks.
Oh, that's and wonderful, Tom.
It is. It's hard for me to even explain. It's beyond words for me, and you know, I don't know how things are going to turn out, and I don't really care because I've been given a life that is so much more full than I ever imagined. And at least for me, one of the important things that I can do is if I want to feel like I was shortchanged by my father, I go to my Holy Father, and immediately that's fulfilled. And so that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Tom. Tom, I think that's so important because this truly is a day in honor of our Holy Father who blesses our earthly father
Yeah.
And who blesses not only our biological father, but all of those parts of our life that set us up with our meaning, our wherewithal, our support, and if we think, don't forget our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and the ancestors that lived and died
all
for
the
values we hold dear.
Yeah.
It's all part of what we acknowledge on this day.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's probably a human person that hasn't at least had one issue with their biological father. But that's because we're just human, and we're all working through our issues and our understandings about what life means. But it doesn't take away the sacred gift of life and the way we cherish it and the way we can always move up to our Holy Father to complete whatever was missing in any one human provider of our needs.
I agree.
So I thank you and wish you a happy Father's Day, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Let's see if there's any other questions here today. Yes, we have one more. And you are on area code 916.
Hi, Glenda. This is Elizabeth in California.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. When Tom was talking, it made me think of a question that's kind of I've had lately, that because when I pray, sometimes I do like Yeshua talks about Father. Sometimes I pray Father. But then my question is, where is Mother? Because I do feel there is a divine, you know, Mother or feminine somewhere, and so I always feel like I'm leaving her out when I pray to Divine Father.
Well, you know, I think that's a good thing to acknowledge, Elizabeth, because we one of the things that Yeshua taught us is to strive for our wholeness, and one of the central points of our blessing is the restoration of wholeness. Yeshua said he accompanied all of his healings by acknowledging that your faith has made you whole and your wholeness has provided the healing. So except that we are whole, we really do not experience a lasting, enduring healing. We may have a euphoric moment or a moment in which we have suspended temporarily what is ailing us, but it always comes back until we discover our wholeness. The reason we take our shoes and socks off in the blessing is to touch the earth. In Love Without End, Yeshua talks about God the source and God the presence, or God the origin and God the vessel. He said that actually all things are God. Everything created is God. And the thing is, the source of all creation is still the source of all creation. And that's what he equated to the Father. And yet the source of all creation becomes the manifest presence of all creation and the manifest container of all creation, and that is the womb. That is the mother. And I think that really the way we pray in such a way that we're whole is we don't disconnect from the things that have hurt us. We don't disconnect from the earth. We look at the, we realize we have actually, in the book of Genesis, we are, it is said we were created from dust. Well, that's not literally true. But metaphorically, it has a meaning. Namely, that our bodies are part of the outward manifestation of God, which is the entire universe, the cosmos, the planet, all of nature, and all of natural life. And into that container was breathed the Spirit of God. So we ourselves are both Mother and Father God. And when we honor the part of ourself that is physical, the part of ourself that has needs, that requires nourishment and sleep and connection with nature and joy and delight and happiness and just a big warm fuzzy hug, we are embracing Mother God. Because Mother is literally the essence of our body. Every cell of our body is Mother God. All the light in our body is Mother God. Does that begin to make sense, Elizabeth?
Yes, that was awesome. Thank you very much, Glenda.
Okay, because actually we are complete manifestations of children of God in the form of actually being a presence of God. And so that shows up in our life as needing to be a complete human being. We cannot just deny our physical needs, ignore our health needs, do without sleep, eat junk food, abuse our bodies, and then just go to church on Sunday and pray to Father God and expect to have a whole life. We also have to love one another. We have to feed one another, as Yeshua did. You know, he was praying to Mother God when he washed the feet of the apostles. He was praying to Mother God when he sat with people and he held their hand. He was praying to Mother God when he would lay their hand, his hand upon them, when he would feed them, when he would hold children in his lap. You see, if we realize that it's all of God, God the vessel and God the creator, then we can clearly see before us, and actually we see Mother far more easily than we see Father. Mother is the mountain out there. Mother is the toe that we just stumped, and it's hurting, and we want to hold it, and we're trying to figure out what can we do to make it feel better. Mother is the friend whose feelings we just hurt. Actually, it's Mother we're most ignoring. And the irony is, it's Mother we most see. It's Mother we most contact with. But isn't this true in life? It's Mother we take our nourishment from, but we also beat up on poor Mother because we know she loves us and she'll take it. She'll unconditionally love us. But today we want to talk about Father. Today is Father's Day. And we want to talk about how we came to be and the gift of life that will sustain us all the days of our life. From the moment of our conception, we were endowed with love and light. And that love and light, as we've been talking about before, was the creation of the first heart cell. And then when the second heart cell was created, the two were glued together by a filament of light that's called aluminum. And all of our cells, the cells in our body, are glued together by luminins, which are connective tissue molecules. And they bring light into our body. And this light is very responsive to the consciousness of life. Now, I see Father God as being this consciousness, this wave of consciousness that is here, that passes through us, that counsels us and comforts us. We call it the Holy Spirit. In the early translations, well, actually in the earliest transcriptions of the Holy Scriptures, the Comforter was actually referred to as the Counselor. And it was said that the Counselor will counsel us in all things and bring us to knowledge in all things. Later on, as translations of the Bible occurred, and the church was more a formalized political structure, which it was not in the first 300 years of Christianity, but it was a formalized political structure later on. The term counselor was changed to comforter because the orientation was the church will be your counselor and the Holy Spirit will comfort those who need the shelter of the church and bring them into the shelter of the church. So there was a political agenda related to the translation of the retranslation of this word concerning the Holy Spirit. It originally was counselor, he who brings knowledge. Yeshua told the apostles, even before his crucifixion, I will send one who will counsel you in all things. Because they kept asking him all of these questions he couldn't answer. Partly because he didn't know the answer yet. These are things yet to be revealed by the Father. But also because the apostles were not ready to know these things. Have you ever noticed that, those of you, most of us in this day and time, at least graduated from high school. And even in high school, we were taught lots of things like trigonometry and algebra. And we studied and passed the test, but we didn't know what the heck it was all about. Later on, maybe if we went to college or we got a job in some field that used algebra or trigonometry, all of a sudden it made sense to us. So we can be presented with all kinds of knowledge that doesn't make sense to us until we have a use for it. Well, Yeshua was a very, very pragmatic teacher. He didn't give anyone knowledge they had no use for, which is one of the reasons he spoke in parables to those who simply needed hope, they needed the right direction in life, and they needed to find their reconnection with the Father, which is our source of life consciousness. Actually, ancient man was much more connected to mother than to father. Much more. As a matter of fact, many, many ancient indigenous cultures were matriarchal in their organization and in their leadership because they had no way of tracing biological lineage, but you know who your mother is and you know who your grandmother is and so forth and so forth. And the grandmothers tended to outlive the grandfathers and so forth. So the patronage of the culture was along the matriarchal lineage. This changed at a certain point in history, approximately about 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. But Yeshua was bringing everyone more into the consciousness of our source, the consciousness of our divine creator, so that we can be in perpetual counsel of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just the one that comforts and brings us healing and blessing, but answers all of our questions from what's going to happen to our planet in the next days? Like the Holy Spirit, though not called by name, is the one who counseled Noah to build the ark. The Holy Spirit is the one who, though not known by name, counseled the prophets to predict what they predicted. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings our understanding and our consciousness of life. This is a very important thing for us to understand because this is the direct lineage, the direct link between God and man. And the Holy Spirit is here to give us understanding, not just of the great things, but ask for a parking place. Where's your next parking place? Oh, drive around the block twice and it'll be there, and by golly, it is. So there's no matter too small for the Holy Spirit to touch. There's no matter too large for the Holy Spirit to understand, because it is your link between God and the whole complete entity of your life. And it is the Holy Spirit that informs you of, you have a question about supplements, medication, what shall I do for a healing situation? The Holy Spirit has the answer. And that's what Yeshua was telling people. Now, the Holy Spirit actually gave birth to the church on the day of Pentecost, which we mentioned and celebrated last Sunday, which tells us a great deal about Yeshua's intention for his church. He did not intend his church to be a political entity. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need leadership and levels of responsibility and education and delegated authority, because, let's face it, some people are just more dedicated to the care and service of their fellow man spiritually than others are. And so I have no quarrels whatsoever with the dedicated men and women who have gone into spiritual service in the form of physical churches and to give physical presence to the church. Because in a way, by giving physical presence to the church, they're also serving Mother God, who gives a spiritual family for us to join and a spiritual family for us to be part of. But when we carry it to the point that it becomes this powerful, politically driven, dogmatically restricted organization, we have missed the point of what Yeshua founded as his church. Because he brought his church to the earth to counsel all of us through the Holy Spirit, and then to bring us one by one into a community of loving hearts that can counsel and nurture one another. And this is what we are building as blessing givers. We're building this community of people who love and serve one another as extensions of Mother God to receive the Holy Spirit of Father God, thus making not only themselves whole, but each one of us whole. And that is one of the best ways I can describe the phenomena of this blessing and the specialness of becoming a blessing giver. And in that, we are made whole. The two parts of our being are put back together. Because too often we look at the universe as a hard, cold, dangerous, physical thing that has very hurtful laws, like the laws of gravity. If you fall off a bridge, you won't just suddenly fly. You'll go flat. That's a hard and cruel thing. We see the laws of the physical universe seemingly be hard and cruel. But we have also seen that what looks like hard and cruel laws of the physical universe can miraculously be changed and altered in the twinkling of an eye when the Spirit of God infuses them with the rejoined unity. And that rejoined unity is, I feel, what we must move toward to bring heaven to earth and to bring the kingdom of heaven into our hearts. That at the very least in our hearts we can have the kingdom of heaven be whole. And remember, as I said, it is not your heart that is broken. Your heart is a sacred center for the receiving of the nurturing, the spirit, and the power of God. It is only you that has allowed your attention to be distracted out to the perimeters where these dark, collapsed entities of energy fail to ignite because they weren't right for you, or they didn't find support in your life, or you were way off center trying to create them in the first place. And what we need to do in those cases is simply let go and forgive and return these dark, collapsed entities back to the universe, because Mother God knows exactly what to do with them. She's a perfect recycler. She'll recycle everything you invested your energy in. You could say you had a wasted youth and it's all failed. give it back to Mother. Give it back to the Earth. Give it back to the universe. Let go of it. She will recycle it, and it will come back to you later on in a form that you can use. But you first have to let go. That, too, is part of the blessing. But it happens. You don't even have to think about it. There's a lot of forgiveness that just happens automatically because you recenter in your heart. And you you rebuild the kingdom of heaven within yourself. So that's what we want to do now as we convey the blessing of Yeshua to each one of you. And I ask that our blessing givers actually join me today in the conveying of the blessing because of the very special opportunity for us to be this loving community that is the physical presence united in the conveying of this blessing. So let's begin, and I will pray my prayer to Yeshua, and I ask all of you, blessing givers included, to pray a prayer from your heart for your needs, but to pray truly from the heart. Don't pray from the center of some dark, failed star out there on the perimeter of your world. Pray from your heart. Envision the kingdom of heaven within yourself. And pray for the wholeness of the kingdom of heaven to be restored. For that will surely happen. That will surely be heard. And it will be magnified by the Spirit of God as it pours in and through you. So be in your heart. Know that God knows even more than you what is required to restore the kingdom of heaven within. And we ask that we all be the children that we are, honoring our Father, the Father of our life and the Father of our eternity. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being the Father of our understanding and the Father of this teaching and the Father of all of the truth that we have found such nourishment for in the guidance of our life on our pathway to love, enlightenment, and wholeness. Thank you for being with all the fathers of our life and bringing our Father God into our life that we may know through his presence the power of the Holy Spirit that counsels us, informs us, and yes, also comforts us in all the days and all the ways of our life. The Holy Spirit that never judges, that always informs, that always simply and gently redirects, that completes, that heals, and unites. For it is the goal and the utter, relentless aim, never-ending, unconditional desire of the Holy Spirit to be in perfect union with all parts of the Creator, both the Creator and the created, that all may be one. And we ask that you bring us into our wholeness and that you allow us to see the kingdom of heaven within. Amen. your blessing is complete. Now go rest for 7 minutes, assimilate, and allow these blessings to become part of every cell of your body. And again, happy Father's Day to all our fathers, and to all our fathers remembered. Bye-bye from me.